I'm going to ask Kevin just to leave the lights down. We're going to kind of stay in an attitude of worship. And you're welcome to stay close by. I don't think this will take too awfully long. I want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And I've been asking the Holy Spirit to be obedient to me here the last couple days. But this morning, I've never had a week quite like this when I knew I was preaching. And last night we went on a date. Me and my beautiful wife went on a date for dinner, and she said, "You know what you're preaching on tomorrow?" And I said, "I do not. I've been in the Word. I've meditated. I've thought. I've wondered. We had a week here at church that was different. We had a funeral for a 6-year-old child, Carter Lehman, and I couldn't wrap my mind around some of the things, and I had questions for God, and just been a week. And we prayed in the worship room. We said, "Spirit of God, you have to move." I had things that had been stirring before this. I thought I knew. I usually have 2 or 3 messages that I think are going to be good, and I have them lined up. But I'm not going to come up here and fill the pulpit for 35 minutes without the Spirit of God. I'm not going to try it. I'm not going to attempt it. And so we prayed in the worship room. And when we left that worship room this morning, I had one word: come. The word has come. And I look at this room here today. I look at the faces that I know. And I know there's some people here that are thirsty for the things of the Spirit of God. I know there's some people in here that are hungry for the things of the Spirit of God. I know there's people sitting in here who have walked through deep trial and deep tribulation. I know there are people sitting in here who have probably right at this moment are going through a drought in your own life. There's famine in your life. I know there are people who are sitting in here that are asking God for a move on maybe their children, because there are some prodigals that were waiting to come home. And I have one word for you this morning, and that word is come. I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 22. And these are the words of John, who was anointed, who the Holy Spirit had come upon him on an island of Patmos. But here in chapter 22, I'm just going to go to a few different scriptures this morning. This is not going to take too long. We're going to go back into worship. But I want to go bring out a few scriptures for you this morning, because I believe that the Spirit of God is here today, and the Spirit of God wants you to come. He wants you to want Him more than the next breath that you breathe. He wants you to want Him. The Spirit of God, I believe, is here today. I think of the last message that I preached here. It says that Jesus was sitting in a house, and it says that the Spirit of God, the power of God, was present to heal. And I actually feel that this morning. Not just heal physically. I believe the Spirit of God is present to heal physically. We heard testimony this morning, but I believe the Spirit of God is here to heal spiritually. He's here to heal some hearts. He's here to call some children home. I told you Revelation. I'm going to start with Luke. I'm going to start with Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. You're going to have to bear with me this morning, but if you believe that the Spirit of God is going to move here, we're in the same boat here. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. This is in verse number 38. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village." This was Jesus and his disciples. "And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she said she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus and she heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving and she approached him and she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Do you not understand, Lord, that I am laboring, I'm working, I'm toiling, I'm doing all the work here, and Mary, my sister, just sitting at your feet? And then Jesus said this, he said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and you are troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. I want to tell you this morning, it's okay to live life. We all have lives. And there, just in the last few weeks, I don't know how many people have, they come up to me and they go, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing pretty good. How's the family? Doing pretty good. That's my answer. It's my go-to. And Jerry can, deep inside Jerry and in the soul of Jerry, I can be in turmoil. I can be in doubt. I can be wondering. I can be having a famine where I can read the word and there's nothing is settling in my heart. And I'm just going, God, I'm just trying to hang on. I'm just trying to survive. I'm actually just going to fake it until I make it. That's what we say in the Christian circles. Well, let's just fake it until you make it. And then I can walk into church on a Sunday morning. I can put on this facade and it looks like I'm okay. And then people, they say, well, how are you doing? How's the family? I say, well, we're busy. We've got 5 children. We've got some teenagers. We've got baseball. We've got golf. We got work. We're busy. We're busy. I want to tell you, it's okay to live life. It's okay to go to work. It's okay to make a living. But I see something in my own life where I'm going, sometimes I forget about what Jesus said to Mary was the most important thing for you to do is sit at my feet and hear my word. Because life will kick you in the chops. It will sucker punch you and it will bring stuff down the pike that you had no idea was going to happen to you. And I see this morning, I feel this morning, there's some mothers in here who are tired. There's some mothers in here who are weary. There's some mothers in here who didn't know that it's going to be this hard to be a mother. They didn't know it was going to be this much responsibility to raise children. They didn't know it was going to be this hard to love a husband and do it unconditionally. There's fathers in here who are trying to make sense of everything in their life. They're trying to make sense of where did I go wrong with this child, or where did I go wrong with my finances, or where did I go wrong with my career. There's fathers in here who are looking at bills laying on their desk and they're going, I just don't know what I'm going to do. All of this stuff is going to happen. All of this stuff, that life is going to happen. You're going to get flat tires on your truck. You're going to have to repair your vehicles. You're going to have to have upkeep on your house. Your pump might quit working. Life is going to happen. But I can tell you one thing. Jesus said, Martha, you're worried about the things of this life. You're worried about putting on a good facade and serving other people. You're worried about putting up a good front. But I'm telling you that Mary has chosen the most important thing, and that is you need to sit at the feet of the Lord. And Jerry, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of not choosing the most important thing when I need to sit at the feet of Jesus. And this morning I feel like that word come. There are people in here that are tired, they're thirsty, they're weary, they're heavy laden. There's a verse in Matthew chapter 11 where it said, Jesus said, he said, and this was after John the Baptist sent his disciples to Jesus asking him, is there another one coming? And I actually, as I read this text in Matthew chapter 11, I believe that Jesus is still talking about John the Baptist, where he says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. All you who labor and are heavy laden, all you who are struggling in life, all you who are tired, all you who are working. I just think of that. There's people that will tell you, James actually says this. He says, you can't live by faith alone. You have to have works. And we take this word works and we make them the works for righteousness, where we just run ourselves ragged trying to work ourselves into the kingdom of God. When Jesus says what in John chapter 6, they come to him and says, Jesus, show us the works so that we can do the works. What works is he talking about? He says, these are the works that you believe on him whom he has sent. The works of God that you believe on me, and then the works of righteousness will follow. The works of the kingdom of God will follow. You can't work yourself ragged to get a good name. You can't work yourself ragged to enter into the kingdom of God. You sit at the feet of the Father. You sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. And some of you in here are striving and you're tired and you're thirsty and you're going through famine. And Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. And when I think about this rest, I think often of the peace of God. There's the peace of God. The Greek word is irene, peace of God. Some of you have opposition coming your way because of choices that you're making in your life. Maybe choices that you've made to follow Jesus, or choices that you said that God has called me out of this, and there's opposition coming against you in your life. And you're going, I just want some peace. I just want some rest. I just want an absence of conflict. But can I tell you something? Peace. The irene peace of God, there's a tranquil state of your mind that you will find if you know that you are walking in the will of God. There is nothing that will bring you peace like knowing that I am walking in the will of God, even though sometimes life around me looks like a tornado just tore through it. And I want to tell you something, that rest, the rest that Jesus is talking about, he's talking to John the Baptist, or talking about John the Baptist who is in prison, ready to get his head chopped off. And Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest, but there's a peace, there's a tranquil state of mind knowing that I'm in the perfect will of the Father, and it does not come from the absence of conflict. The peace of God does not come from the absence of conflict, but in the absolute confidence that you're walking in his will. That is the peace of God. That is the rest that Jesus wants you to have. And if you sit at his feet, you discover his promises, you know what he's saying, you're going, God, my life is in shambles right now. That's my go-to word for my son Isaiah. Dad, this pontoon boat is in shambles. What do you mean? The motor's not working right. That's it. It's in shambles. My car is in shambles. The right wheel is squeaking. It's not in shambles. It just needs fixed. We just have to work on this piece right here to make everything else work right. If we just get this fixed, everything else is going to be good. But the go-to word is shambles. And so you're going, this right here, my life is in shambles. But what if we just work on this a little bit? And you sit at the feet of the Father and he brings revelation and understanding to you. And once you recognize who you are, there's an identity crisis that we have in America right now. There's an identity crisis that we have in the Western world right now. And that identity crisis, you think you have to be somebody. We are walking through a month right now that is Pride Month because people don't know who they are. Yep. There, I said it. Yeah. There's an identity crisis. I watched a clip this morning. I haven't seen the movie Jesus Revolution, but I watched the trailer this morning and I really want to watch it. Yeah. Maybe we have to do a movie night at church. Yeah. Pastor Gordy says we can do that. And Rick is smiling. So I think we're good. I just watched the clip. And the reason I watched the clip is because I was, I had a Bible that is, and I was reading it this morning a little bit. I haven't read it in a long time. Open it up. It's a John, I believe my brother Marcus told me about it back when we were still Amish, and it's a John Corson study Bible. You still have that, Marcus? He does. Endorsed by Chuck Smith. Is that, who's Chuck Smith? Chuck Smith was a pastor in the Jesus Revolution. And what he did, and this was a story that I read, and then I saw a little bit of it on the clip, but in the Jesus Revolution, Pastor Chuck Smith had some elders in his church that were Pharisees. And they had, this was the hippie movement back in the 1970s, and there were young kids coming to Christ, but it didn't look quite like we are sometimes our Pharisaic mind would think that it should happen. But these young hippies were coming to Christ, and they were walking into, Chuck Smith's church barefoot with dirty bare feet. And on the story that I read was that the elders put up a sign that said no bare feet allowed in church, because they were making the carpet dirty. And Chuck Smith tore that sign down. And he said, "I'm going to tear out the carpet as well if that's what's keeping people from coming to us." But in the movie, instead of saying anything about putting on shoes, he just washed their dirty feet. And if we really have that mind about us, if we say, "Come, I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. You care more about your past than the Father does. Come. Come." So this was Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha goes, "Man, I'm doing all the work here." Jesus said, "Mary has chosen the most important thing." If somebody says, "I have to go sit at the feet of the Father," you'd better go wash their dishes for them, because they're doing something that's important to them. There are people who come up here who worship at the altar, and I'm telling you, sometimes for them, it doesn't matter how it looks to other people. I shouldn't say it. I shouldn't say it. But this is a quote out of the movie that Pastor Chuck said when his elders in that church said, "I don't like what's going on here." He said, "That door, it swings two ways." But if there's people up here at the altar and they're shouting the name of Jesus and we don't like it, I'm not quite sure what to tell you. Somebody has been saved. Somebody may have been saved for more than you. And if we're going to judge others by the way they sit at the feet of Jesus, we'd better take some inventory. But this is in Revelation. I want to go to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. It says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let who hears say, Come. And let him who is thirsty, let him come as well. And whoever desires, let him come and take the water of life freely." See, the water of life is free for anyone. You don't have to prove yourself. There's a story. I'm going to go to one more story, and then we're going to go back to worship. This is the story. This morning, I still didn't have a word. Well, I didn't know. But as I was sitting on my recliner, most of you know that I get most of my revelation on my recliner, right? I say that every time. And I hadn't opened the Bible yet, and I just lay back and I was like, "God, I need something here." And he took me to a scripture, and I don't know who this is for. I didn't feel like this was a word for the whole church, but I want to finish with this, with what I got out of the worship room was come. But this is in Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15 and verse number 11. And this is Jesus. He's talking this was after the scribes and the Pharisees. They come to Jesus and they say, "What are you doing? This man, all he does, he eats with sinners." And then Jesus had a few parables for him, but I want to finish with this. There he says, this is the parable of the lost son. In Luke chapter 15, verse 11, he says, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, said, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me." See, here was a young man. He knew the father. He knew who the father was. And I read these stories when it says that you have 100 sheep in your fold. And I look at what we have here. He says, one of these sheep leaves. So all the sheep were in the fold. The lady had the parable above that where it says that the lady that had lost a coin, she had it. It was hers. But she lost it. The sheep, the 100 sheep were in the fold, but one of them wandered away. And I look at the story of the prodigal son. He was in the domain. He was in the kingdom of his father, and he walked away from it. He knew God. He knew the Father. But what he wanted, he says, I want all the goods that I have coming to me. I want everything that you have for me, but I want it without the relationship. I want everything that you have for me, but I don't want to sit at your feet. I want the Spirit of God. I want the power of God. I want the gifts to be working in my life. I want to take the grace of God and proclaim my faith, but I don't want the relationship. I want what I've got coming to me, and I want to do with it what I want to. He didn't want to sit at the feet of the Father anymore. And he took what he had. Here it says that he divided to them his livelihood. Now the father had a couple of sons. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all that he had together, and he journeyed to a far country. And there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. He took the heir. He was an heir to the things that his father had. And he took what he was given. He took what was rightfully his. But it says he wasted it out in the world with prodigal living. Prodigal means riotous or wild or uncontrolled. But it says that when he had spent all that he had, there arose a severe famine in the land. And I believe that there are people, I had a vision one time, and I feel like I shared it, but it was about three or four years ago. But there was a man walking through a desert. And this desert, there was sand as far as the eye could see, and just over the next horizon, the man always, there was what you call a mirage in the desert. He was thirsty. He was tired. And as he topped the next hill, he was pretty sure that he saw water. Pretty sure that he saw water, and he would go for this water. And by the time he got to the water, and this is something that really does happen in the desert. I've never experienced it, but by just as when he thought that he got to the water would disappear. And to the side, he kept looking for water. He kept looking for a source, but just off to his side, there was an oasis in the desert, water, shade, and trees. And the word that came to me was, this is probably a country song, but we're looking for love in all the wrong places. We're drinking water from a source that is not of God. We go to people, can I tell you that I'm just going to tell you, there are people, the reason that I don't say too much when somebody experiences death like we have here just lately, I don't know what to say. And we were given books and advice upon advice when we adopted. And the reason that I'm very careful with what I say is because if I have never walked in the shoes that you're walking in, I'm just going to love you and say, I'll do whatever I can to help you. But sometimes the advice that comes to you through some of your deepest trials are just another man's opinions. And we have to go sit at the feet of the Lord. We have to ask the Spirit of God to lead us through everything. Now, please understand me. There's great advice. People that have walked through it, listen to them. Some of it, opinion. That was kind of free. You guys don't have to write that down. There was a severe famine, and what I want to say about the famine, that I believe a lot of us at one point or another in our life will walk through severe famine. We'll walk through the desert, and we're looking for anything. We're looking for water, and it's a mirage, and by the time we get to that source, it disappears again. But God is an oasis in the desert, and he just wants you to come. If you're thirsty, if you're hungry, just come. You need shade? Come. You need rest? Come. I want to finish here. When he had spent, this was the prodigal son, he had spent all that he had, there arose a severe famine in the land. He began to be in want. Then he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would gladly have filled the stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? See, there's one thing that keeps us from repentance, pride. Pride will keep you from repenting. Why? Because I don't want to expose, I don't want to use the word stupidity. We've all done things that we regret. I don't want to expose the choices that I made and admit that they were not right. And this man, he knew that he had made the wrong choices and the wrong decisions, and he wanted just, all he wanted was the slop of the world when he could have had the kings of the things of the Father. He was hungry. And he said this, I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. I believe that's where the identity crisis comes in America. Actually, in the church in general, is where we beat ourselves up over the things that we have done and we deem ourselves unworthy for the love of the Father. None of us in here, I can point to every one of you and I can tell you that the things that you have done is not unforgivable. I can tell you that the things that you have done does not make you unworthy of the love of the Father. In fact, if I keep reading this word, some of you are going, I think I have to clean my life up before I am worthy for the love of the Father. But I can tell you that this son, he started going home, and as he hit, I don't know where he was on the road, but there was a father that was standing and he was watching for his son to come home. You see, when we walk away from the Father, when we walk away from the things of the kingdom, sometimes we go, God, where are you? But I can tell you something for sure. God never moves. God never moved, but it was us that walked away from the Father. And this prodigal was coming home. He had everything planned out in his mind, how he would tell his father that I am unworthy. The things I have done, I'm ashamed of it. I'm repenting. Just make me as one of your servants. And there's a father who is waiting for the moment that he sees his son top that hill. Come home. Come. He arose and he came to his father, but when he was still a great, great way off, his father saw him and he had compassion. That's my God. That's my God. I wake up in the morning. There are nights where I lay my head on my pillow and I'm not proud of how the day went. God, I know that you're compassionate. God, I know tomorrow I'm going to get up and I'm going to try again. And the next morning I can say, God, I thank you that your compassions, they fail not. I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. I thank you that I can hang on to the promises of the Father that is always waiting for you to come. Sit at my feet. His father saw him and had compassion, and he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. I've said sometimes like, oh, the love of God is going to chase you down. I believe the Spirit of God will chase you down and bring conviction, but the Father is always waiting for you to come. And you know, I pray that for prodigals. People that, and I believe there's still something like that today. They have a prodigal son there, or somebody in their family that walked away. I pray that there will be great famine in their life. Why? When they have to eat the slop of this world, they'll recognize that there's something better at home. But here's what the father said. This prodigal comes home and he goes, I'm not worthy. Make me a servant. I'll be a slave. This is what the father says. He says, you're still an heir. You're still an heir. You're still entitled to everything that I have. Bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here, kill it, let us eat, be merry. For my son was dead and he is alive again. He was alive. And then he died, and he was alive again. I believe the story is talking about those that have tasted the things of the kingdom of God, those that have tasted what the Father really is, those that know, those that have been taught, and they've chosen to not. Now, he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and he asked him, this was this guy's brother who had never left the father. This was this guy's brother who was in the kingdom. He was in the domain of his father. He remained there. He was obedient. He did everything right. I mean, he dressed in a 3-piece suit. He went to church every Sunday. He gave tithe every Sunday. He gave 10% to the penny. He did everything right. We can never let the self-righteous welcome the prodigals home. Can't do that. That's why Chuck Smith just washed the feet instead of put up signs. So he called one of his servants and he asked him what these things meant. He said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and he would not go in. He was a self-righteous man. He was probably saying to his brother, you got what you deserve. You knew better. He doesn't have to prove himself. What? He was angry, would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. He answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours comes, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And this is what the father said, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and he is found. I wanna invite you this morning. Joey, do you have some music? I wanna invite you this morning. This message is not because I feel like anybody in here is a prodigal, anybody in here is lost. This message is because I feel like there's some tired Christians in the house. And when I hear the word come, I speak to myself, but if you're tired, if you're weary, if you're heavy laden, your mind is in turmoil, whatever life has thrown your way, I want you to come. I'm just going to invite you to come. And we're going to worship, and if you want prayer, we will pray with you. We have elders here. We have pastors here. We have people that actually just want to pray with you, stand with you. And if you have been a prodigal, you feel like you've walked away and it's time to come home, that is fine. If you have never received Jesus as Lord of your life, His word says that today is the day of salvation. And when He talks in that very script that I was reading, when He talks about my son was dead and he's alive again, there is reason for rejoicing. He tells them that if the shepherd goes out, or if the lady that has 10 coins and she loses one and she goes and finds it, she says, come and rejoice with me. He says there is more rejoicing in heaven over the one sheep that was lost and that has been found than there is of the 99 that are sitting in the pews every Sunday. And so if that's you this morning, I don't know. I'm just telling you, come. Come. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Receive from Him. And we want to pray with you. We want to stand with you. And the reason I do that is because I need you to stand with me. We're all human. We were at the graveside, and I told Pastor Gordy this. He came, I was here yesterday or Friday. And Pastor Gordy had, it was hot. He was in a suit. He probably hadn't eaten much. He was busy. But he passed out at the, it's okay and Pastor Gordy passed out by the graveside, on Thursday. And I came in here and I've been thinking about that. You know, we're all human. We're all in the flesh. And sometimes we look at people like they're supposed to be invincible. You know, the last thing we need is Pastor Gordy to pass out. Look, he had a job to do. You have one job and you're passing out? That's not funny. And I told him that. I said, you're a pastor. You're not supposed to get tired. You're not supposed to get worried. You're not supposed to get hungry. You're not supposed to get too hot. You're not supposed to pass out. We need you to do your job. And I just want to tell you, if you're in the flesh, you're not invincible. You're not Superman. Some of us are close. But we all have struggles. We all have trials. And we all need to sit at the feet of Jesus. We all need that rest. When He says, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then He says that You know what? I'm just going to read it or I'll butcher it. Matthew chapter 11. He says, and I will give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am lowly in heart. And then you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you want this when he says rest for your souls, I don't feel like he's talking about just this rest in eternity. He's telling you that there is rest on this earth. There is a peace, a tranquil state of mind that you can be in on this earth. He says, you will find rest for your souls. That word soul is suke. Suke, that's the word for soul. You'll find rest for your life. So I'm just going to invite you. Brother Joey's going to, we're going to sing a song or two. And then if you want prayer, please come forward.